The title for this conference is Teaching People to Carry the Cross. One of the most difficult, but also most necessary tasks of the spiritual director is to help the directee understand and accept the mystery of the cross. People need to be taught the profound meaning of the symbol of the cross in their lives and its value for the salvation of the whole world. They need to be taught how to recognize, to accept, and to carry the crosses that are present in their life. The situation of the world today is so critical and so serious that every Christian is called to crucifixion in one way or another. Our nation and our whole world today is at a crossroads. Our situation is far more crucial than a decision to be a fascist or a communist, which was the situation 50 or 60 years ago. The choice must be made today between much more serious issues, and these choices will involve suffering and sacrifice. People today are in a state of indecision, of not knowing which direction to go. This is a time of great inner conflict as well as outward violence and conflict. We find ourselves nailed, impaled, stretched upon a cross, pulled in many different directions and not knowing which way to go. The times are out of joint, and none of us can be free of this conflict that is present in our society today. Every one of us is at least partly responsible for the evils in the world today. And so, when we imagine that we ourselves are perfect and right and good, and fail to realize that we are a part of the problem and therefore need to make some change in our life, the result is that then we project this evil shadow that we have repressed in ourselves out upon others, so that they are always to blame. To carry the cross means to recognize that each one of us has some contribution to make if we are to find the way out. And yet, that contribution is primarily suffering, being stretched upon the cross and experiencing this pull in many different directions, experiencing this abandonment and this aloneness that Jesus Christ experienced 2,000 years ago. However, the situation today is so serious that the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus 2,000 years ago is no longer sufficient to save us. We ourselves must freely choose to mount the cross, to be nailed upon it, and to allow ourselves to suffer crucifixion. The cross is an archetypal symbol that was used not only by Jesus, but is present throughout the history of the world. And at those particular crises in the history of the world, those critical moments, those moments when we come to a crossroads and are pulled in many different directions, it is only by mounting the cross and accepting the cross and living the cross with its pain and suffering that we can hope to find a solution. This is what is called the Paschal mystery, or the paradox of the cross. And that paradox is that out of that suffering and death comes new life and resurrection. In the gospel, we see how the disciples were dismayed when Jesus not only insisted that he must follow this way of the cross, but that anyone who wished to be his follower or disciple, that they also must take up their cross daily and follow Jesus. The way of the cross was the path that Jesus deliberately chose to take in response to the evils of his time. Jesus insisted that we too must be willing to take up our cross and follow him. We need then to be able to recognize the crosses in our present life, since often the cross comes disguised in the many contradictions and irreconcilable conflicts that are present in our life. Rather than running away from the difficulties facing us each day, we must, like Jacob, wrestle with every cross and conflict that comes our way and hope to obtain a blessing in the end. Some examples of daily crosses in the lives of many of us are frustration, failure, disappointment, anxiety, depression, discouragement, misunderstanding, opposition, lack of appreciation, lack of affirmation, physical pains of all sorts, sickness, tiredness, overwork, lack of enough money, lack of love, lack of energy. Another part of the cross that each of us is asked to carry is our lack of perfection and acceptance, therefore, of our own faults, our cowardice, our addictions, our sins, our vices. Accepting ownership of our negative shadow instead of projecting it upon others. Taking back those projections of evil that arouse our emotions when we see those evils in others, and accepting our share of the burden of responsibility for the evil in the world, admitting to God, to ourselves, and to others our faults, our deficiencies, of which perhaps we are very much ashamed. For example, our envy, our selfishness, our pride, our conceit, our lust, our gluttony, our greed, our sloth, our self-centeredness, our lack of love and concern for others, our indifference to the welfare of others, our desire for revenge, our bitterness and resentment toward others. How do we handle the situation when people hurt us and disappoint us and fail to live up to our hopes and expectations? Do we succumb to a rush of anger and resentment and desire to hurt them just as they have hurt us? Or do we accept this cross and say with Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Or at least, instead of passing judgment on their inner conduct, we say, I simply don't understand. When we feel depressed and desolate and alone and unsatisfied with our present life, do we rush out to the shopping center to buy some new clothes we don't need, or to the Baskin-Robbins ice cream parlor, or to our own refrigerator or liquor cabinet? Or do we rather try to carry our cross by taking a walk, visiting someone in need of human companionship who is perhaps more lonely than ourselves? How do we act when we have to make an undesirable and difficult decision in our daily life? Do we go off and sulk and feel sorry for ourselves? Or do we carry our cross by looking at the situation as realistically as possible, biting the bullet by going ahead with the unwanted decision as peacefully as possible? When someone gives us a hard time at work, or makes light of our achievements, or puts us down in one way or another, do we become angry and full of resentment and revenge, saying perhaps to ourselves, I'll get you? Or do we rather accept this cross by refusing to pass an evil judgment on the other person, saying, I don't understand, so I will not pass judgment. Instead, I will pray for them. When we read about the evils in today's world, do we simply put it out of our mind as a bad dream? Do we accept the cross and search out some positive response we can make to these evils, so that we will be able to light a candle rather than merely curse the darkness? All of us have to make decisions every day, and we either succumb to the line of least resistance by avoiding anything difficult, or we willingly take up our cross and carry it as bravely as we can. Surprisingly, once we have made the decision to accept the crosses in our life, to wrestle with them with as much love as possible, very often we will experience a deep inner peace, the peace that we find in Jesus after experiencing total abandonment, not only by his friends and by his enemies, but also by the Heavenly Father. Nevertheless, Jesus is able to say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This inner peace results from a certain detachment regarding the events of this world and this life. Once we are willing to center our life in God, in Jesus Christ, and in the will of God, the pain is still there. Crucifixion is never easy nor painless. But amazingly, amid all the desolation of feeling totally abandoned by everyone, nevertheless, we can peacefully make this total commitment of ourselves into the hands of God. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul tells us, the message of the cross is complete absurdity to those who are headed for ruin, but to us who are experiencing salvation, it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, an absurdity to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, the power and wisdom of God. God's folly, St. Paul says, is wiser than men, and his weakness more powerful than men. God chose the way of the cross to save the world 2,000 years ago, and it is still the way that we must go today if we choose to do our part in saving our modern world from disaster and extinction. One of the most difficult crosses we are challenged and asked to carry today is to confront the manifest evils that are present in so many of our leaders, world leaders, both church leaders and secular leaders. We need to boldly to confront these evils, to call them by their right name, and not allow them to be accepted. The opposite of carrying this cross of bold confrontation is cowardice and silence. And perhaps it is our cowardice and our unwillingness to risk our own present security that we remain silent and that we refuse to carry this cross of confrontation. We know, of course, the price that has to be paid when we confront manifest evils in powerful people. Gandhi recognized it and accepted that price and carried that cross and paid for it with his life. Martin Luther King Jr. in our own country likewise recognized the price of confronting the manifest evils of racial injustice in our country, and he too paid for his confrontation with his own life. We have an example of this cowardice, this unwillingness to speak up in the Gospel, chapter 7 of John's Gospel. It's the story of Nicodemus. We're told there that Nicodemus rather feebly protested the injustices of the Sanhedrin, of which he was a member. Reading from the Gospel, St. John chapter 7, verse 50. One of their own number, Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus by night, spoke up and said, "Since when does our law condemn any man without first hearing him and knowing the facts?" But Nicodemus was quickly silenced by the other members of the Sanhedrin, and therefore was unwilling to confront the manifest evils he saw in the conduct of the Sanhedrin. Why? Because it would have resulted in his own persecution and expulsion from the Sanhedrin, a loss of his own security. As I see it, that is exactly the position of many of us today. We remain silent in the presence of manifest evils, whether it be among church leaders or among our national leaders. And as a result, whatever feeble protests that we might make among ourselves, it is just as useless as was the protest of Nicodemus 2,000 years ago. We are unwilling to be prophetic and call evils by their right name wherever we find them. Our unwillingness is for the most part due to our unwillingness to risk our present security in today's very insecure world. We're unwilling to be impaled to the cross, unwilling to suffer the inevitable crucifixion that would result if we boldly but lovingly confronted today's evils as Jesus confronted the power drives in the church of his own time. And it seems to me that the situation is such in our world today that we have no choice but to follow this way of the cross, this way of crucifixion, and that we must not remain silent in the presence of manifest evils, that we must speak up. For example, in regards to the worship of national security on the part of our government and on the part of the large majority of the people, the citizens of our country, this worship of national security leads us to this insane buildup of nuclear weapons to the extent that we are able to destroy the whole population of the world 1,000 times over. It leads to these terrible injustices where we build up our national debt to the neglect of the poor in our own country and the destitute, starving hundreds of millions or billions of people in other parts of the world. This is a manifest evil, this worship of national security, this worship of power on the part of our government. If we are to carry the cross, we must speak out just as boldly as did Jesus against the abuses of power in his time, just as Gandhi against the abuses of power in India 50 years ago, just as Martin Luther King spoke out against the abuses of power in the area of racism just 25 years ago. All three of them paid for their confrontation with their life. We might have to suffer a similar fate if we were able to overcome our cowardice and were able to rise above our silence in the face of these manifest evils and confronted the people and called them by their right name, these evils, but confronted in a loving, a bold, a nonviolent way. This is probably the main cross to which we are being called today if we wish to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Dr. Scott Peck has done a good job of explaining the need of such a bold confrontation of evil today. In two of his books, The Different Drum and The People of the Lie, we must be willing to stand up, he says, and call a lie, whenever and wherever it is present, and whomever is the person that is doing it. And we must be willing to suffer the inevitable painful consequences of such a confrontation. But out of this sacrifice of our security, we can hope for a new life for the world and for our own country. This is, again, the paschal mystery, the paradox of the cross, that out of suffering and death comes life. Perhaps we ourselves will not experience that new life here on earth because we will have paid for our bold confrontation of evil with our life. But this is the sacrifice of ourselves that Jesus calls us to make if we wish to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. To carry this cross of confrontation of evil, does not mean that we know exactly the solution to the problems facing us today. The symbol of the cross, however, assures us that it is the doorway to resurrection and new life. It is quite possible that even Jesus, in his human nature, did not know exactly what the outcome would be by his confrontation of evil and his crucifixion. But he trusted in God, some way, somehow, that through this way of the cross, that salvation, life, and resurrection would result. Any other attempt to resolve the serious problems facing our country and our church and our world today are probably doomed to failure, because they are what we on the farm used to call a baling wire solution to our problems. If a piece of farm machinery broke down while we were out in the field, we would patch it up with baling wire to hold the piece together until we could get to the barn and to the shop to make the proper repairs. And so, other solutions to our serious problems that do not confront the manifest evils of the abuses of power on the part of our leaders and the choosing of the wrong goals on the part of most of us in the world today and in our own country, those solutions are doomed to failure. It is only the cross, it is only the willingness to take up our cross that we can hope will bring success. However, such a bold way of confronting evil is probably beyond the capacity or the ability of many of the directees that come to us. And so what we need to do is gradually initiate them and lead them to this ultimate crucifixion to which perhaps God is calling them. We need to show them that there are crosses in their own present life, as has been explained in this conference, in the different examples that were given. And so gradually they need to be showing how they need to take up their cross in 1,000 different ways every day, to take the hard road, the difficult path, rather than the easy path. As they choose these minor or lesser crosses of their daily life, and experience that deep inner peace that comes from choosing the right way even when it is difficult, such persons then will gradually develop the courage, the grace, and the strength to be able to carry perhaps this ultimate cross of crucifixion that would result from their bold confrontation of the evils that are present in our society today. This is the end of the conference.